यशोरनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुनतीरवनतहरि यमुनतीरवनतहरि जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारि जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारि
Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahamsa Parvrajaka Charasvate, Sata Shri Shimra Divine Grace, Asi Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Charya, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, all glories to Simul Devotees, all glories to Simul Devotees, all glories to Simul Devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Garanda. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19, Text 34, The Appearance of Shukadeva Goswami. Sanidhyate Mahayogin Patakani Mahantyapi Sajyo Nishanti Vaipungsam Vishnor Iva Saretara Sanidhyate Mahayogin Patakani Mahantyapi Sadyo Nishanti Vaipungsham Vishnor Iva Suretara. Others?
Sannidhyate Mahayogin
Sannidhyate
Shanti Vai
Kumsam
Vishnori Vasuretara
Sanidhyate
Mahayogin
Vaishnavis? Okay.
Sanidhyat.
On account of the presence. Te, your. Mahayogin. O great mystic. Patakani. Sins. Mahanti. Invulnerable. Api. In spite of. Sadhya, immediately. Okay. Nishanti, Nishanti.
Vanquished.
Vaye.
Certainly.
Pumsam.
Of a person.
Vishnu.
Like the presence of the personality of Godhead.
Iva.
Like.
Sura itara.
Other than the demigods.
Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
Just as the atheist cannot remain in the presence of the personality of Godhead, so also the invulnerable sins of a man are immediately vanquished in your presence, O saint, O great mystic. Purport. There are two classes of human beings, namely the atheist and the devotee of the Lord. The devotee of the Lord, because of manifesting godly qualities, is called a demigod, whereas the atheist is called a demon. The demon cannot stand the presence of Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. The demons are always busy in trying to vanquish the personality of Godhead, but factually, as soon as the personality of Godhead appears by either his transcendental name, form, attributes, pastimes, paraphernalia, or variegatedness, the demon is at once vanquished. It is said that a ghost cannot remain as soon as the holy name of the Lord is chanted. The great saints and devotees of the Lord are in the list of his paraphernalia. And thus, as soon as a saintly devotee is present, the ghostly sins are at once vanquished. That is the verdict of all Vedic literatures. One is recommended, therefore, to associate only with saintly devotees, so the worldly demons and ghosts cannot exert their sinister influence. Om Gyana Tarandasha Gananjana Salakaya Chakshadunitamina Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Panchakalpaturvischa Kripa Sindhuve Vicha Patano Pavnagyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha. So we're getting to the very end of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're actually in the last nine verses, in the final eight verses beginning with verse 32 up until the next to the last one. They're all spoken by Maharaj Parikkhit. And in these eight verses, Maharaj Parikkhit is glorifying Shukadeva Goswami, who has just entered the assembly, and also asking very important, pertinent questions of him. Then there's like a final verse that says something like, now Shukadeva Goswami speaks. And then Canto 2 starts Shukadeva Goswami in his discussion. I said it was interesting that we always say the Bhagavatam is spoken by Shukadeva Goswami, but he actually doesn't even speak until the second canto. Anyway, Sutta Goswami does a wonderful job in the first canto of speaking, actually repeating what he had heard from Shukadeva Goswami. Okay, so today we're talking about all negative and demonic elements cannot remain in the presence of Krishna. So this is very clearly discussed here. And similarly, the great devotees also remove all sinful or negative elements, as Prabhupada is saying. So obviously, there's material world is a fearful place, with dangers everywhere. From the Hitopanishads, verse Sahara Nidra Bhaya Matunam Cha Samanyam Eta Pushubir Naranam, both animals and men share the activities of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And of course, bhaya is used for defending, but it also means fearing, just like abhay charan. Abhay means without fear. So Prabhupada often translates this as eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing. So the point is that this is the activities of almost everyone in the material world. This is our natural state, that these activities are going on. And of course, the second part of the verse gives the solution. Dharmo hitesham adiko vivesha dharmena hina pashubhi samana. But the special property of humans is they're able to engage in spiritual life. Without spiritual life, humans are on the level of animals. Now, Prabhupada quotes this verse many times, but the only attribution I've seen to it is Hitopanishad. I don't know if it's in the Bhagavatam or any other scriptures, eating, sleeping. The verse about eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Hitopanishad is the only place I saw. I'm sorry, you're right. So anyway, Prabhupada quotes it a lot. He talks a lot about the four animal propensities. So when we talk about without spiritual life, what does that mean? We know spiritual life means without God, without or lack of spiritual life, means that we don't have knowledge of God, of Krishna, and ultimately the relationship of the soul with Krishna, which is one of bhakti, devotional service. So, of course, bhakti means serving Krishna, ultimately with all of our heart, our mind, our body, our words, but also it means surrender to Krishna and dependence on Krishna. That's really a very, very important part of our relationship with Krishna. Because Krishna really does give all protection. In this verse, it says that the atheist cannot remain in the presence of the personality of Godhead. So when faced with danger or adversity, the devotees always take shelter of Krishna, knowing that that is the shelter, that Krishna can dispel any fears, any dangers, any obstacles, any demoniac elements. And Prabhupada even talks about ghosts and things like this that cannot stand in the presence of Krishna or his holy name. So when faced with danger or adversity, the devotees naturally take shelter of Krishna. Now, this verse uses the word sura and asura. Well, it uses the word, where it discusses the suras and the asuras, the devotees and the demigods, or devotees or demigods and the demons. I mean, you know, the asuras are demons and the suras are godly personalities, the demigods or the devotees. And so it's described that there's always a struggle between these two classes. The demons are always opposed to God. Prabhupada says here they can barely stand hearing about or stand the presence of Vishnu or Krishna. So this struggle is going on, and we see it in the Bhagavatam. It's been going on for eternity, practically. I mean, at least thousands and thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years. Excuse me. And we see inevitably in the Bhagavatam many examples where the suras or the devatas approach Vishnu or Krishna when they're harassed by the demons. This is typical. When Kamsa had a huge burden on the world with his demoniac activities, the devatas approach Vishnu, they go to Svetagrip, they ask for his help, their Brahma goes and petitions Vishnu. Bali Maharaj, the demons at that point, had pretty much conquered everything, taken over all the demigods' planets and territory, so naturally they approach Krishna, and he comes as Vamanadeva and takes it back for them. Hiranyakasipu had pretty much taken over everything, was in control of the universe. Krishna comes, of course, as Nrisimhadeva. So, with Krishna's help, the demigods are always victorious. Sometimes they're not victorious, but usually we'll see when they directly, when they aren't able to win on their own, and then they surrender to Krishna and they go to Krishna, then they have victory, and Krishna always helps them. But the demigods, they become very fearful. Even they, with all the long life they have, with all the opulence, with all the wealth, strength, everything that they have, they become fearful of the demons. But the devotees of the Lord, of course the demigods are devotees also, but the pure devotees of the Lord, they have no fear. It's described, Narayana Paraksarve, Nakutaschana Bhibhyate, Svarga Pavarga Narakesh Vapi Tulyarta Darshina. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. Bhagavatam 6:17-28. And we see so many examples in the Bhagavatam where devotees are protected by Krishna. Krishna's protection is not reserved for the demigods in these cosmic intergalactic battles or something on that kind of scope, but the individual devotee. For all of us, and of course particularly the Bhagavatam, most of the stories there are naturally about pure devotees, who are great exemplars for us. But we have these stories about them for our benefit, that we can learn from them and we can follow in their footsteps, if not imitate. So many examples. Uttara, Pariket's mother. When Pariket was in the womb, the unborn baby, Ashwatthama releases this Brahmastra weapon at her, commanded to kill her unborn child. What does she do? Immediately runs to Krishna. right? She ran to Krishna where he was there at and prays to him. And prays for her protection. And of course he does. He enters her womb and he defends Parikshit against the Ashwatthama weapon. And of course then Arjuna later goes and defeats him. But immediately that protection is there. Queen Kunti's prayers are famous. When she was in distress, what did she do? She prays to Krishna, and that distress is relieved. Ambarish was pursued by, I guess it was a demon released by Devasa Muni, and because of some tiny, slight infraction of some rule, and Devasa Muni took offense at what happened. He goes to Lord Narayan, Vishnu, releases the Sudarshan Chakra, and Devasa is running for his life. And he comes to, prays to Lord Krishna, don't come to me. You need to take shelter of my devotee that you offended. So this is Krishna's, Vishnu's, Narayana, doesn't matter. It's the protection it's always given. And then, of course, we look at the residents of Vrindavan in the Krishna book, or the 10th canto, constantly. What do they do? They're seeking shelter of Krishna from the demons. Of course, when Krishna appears in Gokula, in the material world, there are demons. Sometimes in this Goloka, there's a threat of demons, but there are no real demons because everyone is a devotee, naturally, in the spiritual world. But when Krishna descends, material world, it's described as a couple differences. It's almost the same, Gokula, Goloka, non-different, except that there are demons here, and there are non-devotees. There are people like, Kamsa. Well, I guess they're demons. But anyway, they're all here. So what do they do? Agasura comes, opens his mouth, the coward boys. They walk in. They walk right in. And they say, they're confident. Krishna will save them. They can't swallow us. And even if he does, Krishna will save us. Just the total confidence that they have. I mean, there are examples of, the topmost devotees. The great Nityasiddha liberated souls. And that they, in their eternal pastimes with Krishna, totally fearless. Have that confidence. And sometimes, of course, sometimes the devotees do show fear. That's part of the rasa. What was it? Shankachuta came to kidnap the gopis, and they became afraid. But that was a way of Krishna then saving them, and they felt, it's all part of that relationship. Now, probably on some ultimate level, they weren't afraid, but, for part of that pastime, Yogamaya works to, sometimes they have all these different emotions. Yeah. So, of course, we're talking about all these great devotees, and, they seem so far above us, and not that we can imitate, but they are there to give example. They're there to give lessons. And we find that devotees begin to take shelter of Krishna from the very beginning. I mean, how many stories have all of us heard or even experienced ourselves of devotees getting protection from Krishna? They'll be in some very difficult situation, and somehow or another, Krishna protects them. And it's not always just like, oh, well, I got out of that, so it must have been Krishna. No, often devotees directly perceive the presence of Krishna's protection. Even neophyte devotees like us, it can happen. It does happen. And I'm sure we all have some story like that. But, so that's there. And that is, and when one surrenders to the Lord, fearlessness comes. So that fear that we all experience in the material world is really taken away by our surrender to Krishna. And that's one of the symptoms of surrender. One of the six symptoms of surrender given in the Hari Bhakta Vilas and quoted in Majjha Lila is that one has the conviction that Krishna will give protection. So when one's conviction is very strong, Krishna will protect me, when I have that faith, that is a symptom of being a surrendered soul to Krishna. Prabhupada writes in a purport in that Majjha Lila verse. It's Hari Bhakta Vilas. It's quoted in Majjha 22.100. Situated in everyone's heart, Krishna deals differently according to the living entity's position. The living entity's position is to be under the protection of the illusory energy or under Krishna's personal protection. So which do you choose? That's an easy one, right? When a living entity is fully surrendered, he is under the direct protection of Krishna. And Krishna gives him all intelligence by which he can advance in spiritual realization. So that last point is very interesting. So karma protection is not just material. It's not just the material body, because after all, as we're experiencing, we all do get old, diseased, and eventually leave our bodies. So it's not that we're going to be immortal by being a devotee. It's not that nothing bad ever happens. I heard that a devotee was shot by a sniper in Ukraine yesterday. So, think this is a material world. Bad things happen in the material world because this is where we are. But Krishna says, Prabhupada says, Krishna's intelligence to advance in spiritual realization. So that's really the greatest protection. The greatest protection is that spiritual protection. Krishna helps us to advance in Krishna consciousness. Krishna helps us to remember him. Krishna gives us that faith that whatever happens, whether it's good, bad, however I may be perceiving it materially, it's all good. It's for my good because Krishna knows what's best and Krishna will help me. This is from Majjha 22:39-42. It's kind of interesting. Krishna says, these are the verses here, if one engages in my transcendental loving service, at the same time wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he is very, very foolish. Indeed, he is just like a person who gives up ambrosia to drink poison. Since I am very intelligent, why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead, I shall induce him to take the nectar of the shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget illusory material enjoyment. Whenever Krishna is requested to fulfill one's desire, he undoubtedly does so. But he does not award anything that, after being enjoyed, will cause one to petition him again and again to fulfill further desires. In other words, Krishna may fulfill a material desire, but don't push it. In other words, understand the idea ultimately is to give up those material desires and pray to Krishna for, spiritual attainment. When someone engages in Lord Krishna's devotional service for the satisfaction of the senses and instead acquires a taste for serving Krishna, he gives up his material desires and willingly offers himself as an eternal servant of Krishna. So Krishna actually helps us to give up those material desires by giving us a taste of Krishna consciousness so that we can continue to surrender and to advance. So just as Krishna can give us all protection from unwanted negative elements, a very important part of this verse is that the devotee of the Lord has that same power to give protection and shelter to the living entities. Prabhupada says, as soon as the personality of Godhead appears by either his transcendental name, form, attributes, pastimes, paraphernalia, or variegatedness, the demon is at once vanquished. I thought this was interesting what Prabhupada says now. The great saints and devotees of the Lord are on the list of his paraphernalia. And thus, as soon as a saintly devotee is present, the ghostly sins are at once vanquished. So devotees are part of Krishna's paraphernalia. So he's thinking, well, what does that mean? Well, he's thinking they're part of the paraphernalia because they act on behalf of Krishna. They're his ambassadors. The pure devotees come, they're his ambassadors, his spokespeople in this material world. And so they're acting as an extension of Krishna. That's like his paraphernalia, because Krishna and his paraphernalia are non-different, we know. So Krishna's words and the words of the acharyas, the words of his pure devotees, the words of the guru are non-different. So that's the extension of his paraphernalia in the form of the saints and sadhus. Thus, there's great power and value in the association of these saintly devotees because they are acting on behalf of the Lord. In the purport, Prabhupada ends by saying, one is recommended to associate only with saintly devotees. So, association is a very, very important thing, and we talk about it a lot. Krishna consciousness, sadhu sangha, it's a principle that we all know. But there are different effects of bad association and good association. It's not the same. Now, in the Hari Bhakta Sudaya, quoted in Nectar Devotion, chapter 12, there's this quote, my dear son, association is very important. It acts just like a crystal stone, which will reflect anything just put before it. So who said that? Hiranyakasipu, yes. In fact, you remember in the seventh canto, when Hiranyakasipu is beginning to address the wives of Hiranyagarbha, telling them not to lament and everything? The demon. Anyway, he said, the first verse starts out, says, Shri, it says, Sri Hiranyakasipu Vacha. So in other words, Sri Hiranyakasipu, I thought it was kind of interesting, because normally we say, like, you know, Sri Krishna Vacha, Sri Shukadeva Vacha, like that. But first of all, of course, he really is a devotee. You know, he's Jaya or Vijaya, one of them. But also he's actually speaking. He speaks actually almost like Bhagavad Gita in those verses, where he's talking about how you're not your body and not lament, you know, and this and that. So this is, of course, very true. He gives us a nice quote about just like a crystal stone associated will reflect us. But what he's talking about, of course, is the bad association his son is getting from those Vaishnavs, and I should get good association from his teachers in school, right? So he's got it backwards, although he had the right principle. Now, in that, right after that, Prabhupada says, in that chapter 12, he says, similarly, if we associate with the flower-like devotees of the Lord, and if our hearts are crystal clear, then certainly that same action will be there. So Prabhupada turns it around, said that, yes, it's from the association of devotees that our hearts will become clear. I mean, Kamsa had some philosophical understanding, you know. Sometimes he says a few things, and he starts to almost like want to do the right thing sometimes, you know, but then he gets influenced by his demoniac advisors and he makes the wrong choices. You know how we talk to our kids sometimes about making good choices and bad choices? Boy, Kamsa's idea of choices went way, way off the scale. He became influenced by bad association and does horrible things. He becomes the most demoniac, you know, murder of children and, you know, everything. So we can see how, in fact, we see all the time in the material world how people are affected by association. They're even affected by association of media and whatever it might be. Whatever we hear, it kind of goes into our consciousness and, you know, kind of becomes part of us. So, in fact, in the Nectar of Instruction, verse 2, it says, devotional service is spoiled by a number of things. One of them is associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. And you'll find that if you associate a lot with people who have no interest in spiritual life, and who are not devotees, or not even have, or maybe someone who's not even pious at all, you know, that starts to become normalized. You know, you start to feel like, well, this is the way it is. This is the way people are. And, you know, by continued association, a little bit of it, as we say, rubs off on you. In other words, you do become affected by that association. So, the verdict of all revealed scriptures is that even a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can attain all success. So, rather than concentrate on bad association, let's focus on good association. Bhagavatam 118.13, the value of a moment's association with a devotee of the Lord cannot be compared even to the attainment of the heavenly planets or liberation from matter, what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which is for those who are meant for death. Okay, that's quite an indictment. But it's true, isn't it? Everything is taken away at the time of death. All material enjoyment, material prosperity. Even the non-devotees say you can't take it with you. Everybody knows that. You know, it's very temporary. Right? So association with devotees. Obviously one of the five principles, the devotional service given by Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Samrita Sindhu. And so this is the beginning process. Described first, there must be some faith, Shraddha. And then, sadhusanga. One will be led to the association of devotees or to the guru. Then in turn, sadhusanga increases that faith. So it works mutually. The good association of devotees increases the faith such that we begin the next stage of bhajana kriya, which is our sadhana bhakti. So all along, this association, good association with devotees, is essential for advancing in Krishna consciousness. You know, and we have wonderful examples of the power of association. Of course, Narada Muni, he achieved perfection through association with the great saints called the Bhaktivedantas, who were at the, I guess, what was it? Some kind of a, what were they, those things? Like a hotel, an inn, something, you know, some place of where they were staying anyway during the rainy season. And his mother was a servant. And she was serving these great souls, and he also got to help serve. He took some remnants of the Prashanam. He heard them speaking discourses. Down the line, he's Narada Muni, one of our greatest devotees. Great, great devotee, Narada Muni, who's throughout the Bhagavatam. He's involved in everything. One of, obviously, very, very intimate associate of Lord Krishna. So he had perfected an association. He perfected his life through association. And then he, in turn, gave his association to so many people that then became devotees or became better devotees, more pure devotees. And, of course, one of our best examples is Margari the Hunter. No kind, I mean, he was engaged in, basically, demoniac activity. Not just killing animals, but torturing animals before he killed them. But Narada Muni's association turned him completely to a pure bhakta of the Lord. Jagai and Mare, acting as demons, became devotees by the blessings of Nityananda. Now, Nityananda, of course, is God, but he's Balaram, but he's playing the part of the devotee, showing the power of the devotee. And then I was thinking, then I also think of the prostitute who became a devotee just by the association of Haridas Thakur, you know, by hearing his chanting. But that association of the pure chanting of a devotee gave up all of her sinful bad habits, became a devotee. So with this association of great devotees, as well as advancing in Krishna consciousness, this fearlessness comes about. Now in these verses, Maharaj Parikrit is at the time of death, and Shukadev comes into the assembly. Immediately, he senses the presence of a great devotee. You know, Shukadev Goswami is like refulgent and just glowing, you know, just everyone knew. All the symptoms of a great soul were there. So Parikrit completely surrendered to Shukadev. He puts himself in his hands, takes direction from him, asks him, for someone on the point of death, what is the best thing to do? In other words, he takes complete shelter of him because he knows the power of association of a great devotee like Shukadev. So we all want to associate, of course, with great souls and get that benefit. And we associate both personally, like we see these stories, Maharaj Parikrit with Shukadev Goswami, etc. But we also associate through Vani, through hearing. By hearing and reading from the Guru, from Srila Prabhupada, from the Acharyas, reading is destroying our fears. The demon of doubt is thinking about this. What is one of our, when we talk about fears, it's not always something externally fear. Sometimes it's internal, right? Our own issues, our own fears, our own doubts. So I think doubt is a real issue, and everybody experiences doubt. Now, normally we overcome those, and Krishna reveals something to us, or heart, you know. Krishna works, and Prabhupada works, to help us with those doubts. But it's there. And Krishna talked to Arjuna about. Arjuna calls Krishna Madhusudana. One who is destroying those doubts. Here's from Prabhupada gave a lecture on chapter 6 of the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said, that means this mind is a big demon, just like Madhu. If it's possible to kill the demon, then we can attain yoga. You see? That the particular purpose of Madhusudana, you were the killer of Madhu demon. Now I think my mind is stronger than this Madhu demon. So if you can kill it, then it's possible for me to accept this yoga system. The mind is so agitated. Right? So, that's very possible, that we associate in this way and the doubts become driven away. So the words of the Acharya have the same effect. The mind becomes convinced, becomes controlled, and our doubts become relieved. And of course, we all also experience being in the presence of these great souls. We were fortunate enough to have the experience of being in the presence of a Mahabhagavata, Srila Prabhupada, and so many of us experience that personally. And I think that I certainly felt, and I think many devotees have also expressed this, it felt like that when you're with Prabhupada, it's like everything was perfect. Right? There were no problems. What was your problem? A couple of times I had opportunities I could have asked Prabhupada questions when I was there, and I had nothing to say. I had really nothing to ask, because what was the problem? The only problem was me, you know, can I surrender, you know? I mean, what did I need? I mean, a lot of devotees, fortunately, did ask good questions, and we have a lot of good, nice things answered in Prabhupada's memories, but I was just kind of like, I don't know. Nothing's wrong. Anyway, but the point is, I often felt like there was nothing to fear. Whatever happened, we were in his hands. I kind of felt kind of like the coward boys walking in Agasura's mouth. You know, we were like that. I mean, if anything happened, the world blew up, that's all right, we're with Prabhupada. He'll take care of us. I mean, it was that sense that when you were in the association in the hands of a pure devotee, you put your life in their hands, you know, there's no fears. There's no problems. And even though Prabhupada's no longer with us, we still have every opportunity to surrender. So we surrender to Prabhupada, we surrender to Prabhupada's disciples, we surrender to all the acharyas and our line, and ultimately to Krishna. You know, so we want to develop faith, we want to develop our sense of surrender, so we need to practice the principles of sadhana bhakti, of hearing and chanting, shravanam kirtanam, and also develop our sadhu sangha, so we can achieve better sadhana in association with devotees. So the importance of good association, I'm going to end with one final verse that talks about this that I really like. This is Bhagavatam 3:25-25. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed, and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. Prabhupada's purport. The process of advancing in Krishna consciousness and devotional service is described here. The first point is that one must seek the association of persons who are Krishna conscious and who engage in devotional service. Without such association, one cannot make advancement. Simply by theoretical knowledge or study, one cannot make any appreciable advancement. One must give up the association of materialistic persons and seek associations of devotees. Otherwise, one cannot understand the activities of the Lord. Now, another sort of slight perspective on this is also given by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in his purport to this verse. He says, only by association with devotees does the mind develop attraction to the Lord. The stages are described here. The previous verse mentioned that association should be desired. Then faith first arises. From excellent, that's the Sanskrit word pra, association of devotees, stories of my pastimes become nectar for the ears. From inferior association, there is only bhajana kriya, but the stories do not become nectar. Thus, for excellent association, the stories cause anartha nivritti. Then those stories cause nishta, then ruchi, up to prema. So, material desires and habits, the anarthas, are destroyed only through good association. And I think this is a very important point that, in other words, anybody who chants Hare Krishna is a saintly person. But if a person is very materialistic, and even if they're chanting Hare Krishna, by their association, you're not going to advance too much beyond that level of just hearing and chanting. And obviously, if we want to become freed from material desires, and the anartha vritti step's a tough one. That's one I think we work on a good part of our life, right? You know, still work on. And that comes from the highest association. It only comes from very good association of Prabhupada, the Srila Prabhupada, the Acharyas, and those who are following Srila Prabhupada. Right? So that's just something to keep in mind, that having wonderful association, like, even though there are only a few of us, those of you here in the Bhagavatam class, it's so nice. Everybody here is interested in Krishna, attentive, and thank you very much for being here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Anybody want to add anything? Yes, Mother Sugar.
I remember, you know, reading that Prabhupada's definition of a demon is someone who doesn't use their senses in the service of Krishna. Mm-hmm. So that leaves real, you know, and a devotee is someone who uses their senses in service of Krishna. So generally we think of demon as, you know, horns and, you know, 10 heads like Ravana. But there's quite a wide array of, I guess, different gradations of demons, but still very dangerous. Like Prabhupada talks about, you know, people who are very wealthy and, you know, have a lot of power. They're very full of themselves, that they think they can do anything. Mm-hmm. And
well, the problem in Kali Yuga is, as you're saying, it's this demoniac mentality. And Lord Chaitanya came to this, not to kill demons, but to destroy the demoniac mentality, which all of us had to some degree before coming to Krishna consciousness. Now, there's different perspectives on it. Sometimes Prabhupada said 95% of people are innocent, and only a small percentage are actually demoniac, but they influence the rest of them. And we have demoniac people who in positions of leadership, power, and influence, control and influence, you know, others, you know, to really believe that a materialistic life is all in all. And this is what we should all strive for and attain, you know. But, but then we all have that mentality until we take to Krishna consciousness. Yeah, that's a good point. So, yeah, but I think your main point here was materialistic association is there everywhere. And we have to be very careful about that. So, yeah. Anything else? Did it? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.